There's a lot of excitement in our building, as you guys can tell, as we enter game week. We started this morning as a staff with a devotional. It was a devotional about focus, and I think that's a good segue to where we are. We've prepared a long time for this week and weeks to come. Great opportunity to see where we are as a team on September the 3rd. We're looking forward to the energy and the enthusiasm that Dowdy Ficklin provides us. We're really excited to get a chance to be in front of our entire fan base and give our kids a chance to play against someone else as we move forward. Now, Coach Spear has a good football team at Western Carolina. We've been able to watch them for a while now offensively. They return 7 to 8 starters. And the scheme presents a few challenges for us defensively. You know, one of the things that you see on tape is they use the scheme to benefit their players. And a lot of people wouldn't understand exactly what I mean. They do a good job in the zone read scheme, not only in zone read scheme, but triple option. Presents some problems from a fly motion, some of the things that they do. They have a quarterback battle going on right now between Wes and Tyree, but it's a good quarterback battle. A lot of people are always fearful when battles come down when you're trying to figure out who your quarterback is going to be, but both of those quarterbacks are capable. The challenge that it presents is because they are different at the position. Also, running back number 21, every stadium that he shows up into on Saturday afternoons, he plays well. He's a hard tackle. He's quick. Not only is he quick, but he's a guy that if he gets out 2 to 3 yards in front of you, he can take it a distance. If you don't believe that, you can ask some of the big-time opponents that they've faced. Number 85 is a kid that will take you from a safety standpoint and put you in a lot of positions in different situations because he is going to be their fly motion guy. Really talented individual. Those quarterbacks have some weapons to use, and we're trying to prepare ourselves defensively to make sure that we are ready for anything that they may be able to throw at us. But a guy that's not talked about a lot in our offense is the adjuster, or the tight end, number 15. He's going to line up in multiple positions in the run game. He also can quickly transition into the pass game to give you some difficulties in coverage. So he is also a big-time part of their offense and his position flexibility. Defensively, I got a tremendous amount of respect for Coach Landry. He brings a different amount of pedigree to their defensive side of the ball. Anybody that knows where he's been in big-time situations in the SEC and the ACC. He's been mentored by some big-time football coaches and coaching some big-time situations. We think we know what they're going to do, but there's always the concern of the unknown. The best thing about that for our offense is that our offense have been facing a defense, that has played multiple fronts from the beginning of camp all the way to now, whether it's been a 4-down scheme, 3-down scheme, bear, all those things included. So our offense has had a chance to be around them. And then defensively, their linebackers, in my opinion, are the strongest part of their team. They do have some great cover guys. And number 26, Trey, is a guy that's aggressive in coverage and will always be, a guy that we have to know where he is on the field. And they're anchored by number 91. He has done a good job of making sure that defense is coming off the ball and also making sure that they get pressure on the quarterback. This team defensively is just looking at them from last year, has always played gap sound. But if you go back and look at some of the stuff that Coach did at Holmes, this team is a team that defensively is going to be a gap sound football team. We look forward to the challenge. Now, moving on to talk about us a little bit offensively. We think we're in a great position to go out and play a clean football game. We've been able to scale back on what we want to do. Phillip has a great understanding of what we're going to do and his weapons offensively. Has a great idea of what we're going to do. And our offensive front, we have worked really, really hard to become a better running football team. I think this has been a physical camp. A lot of people in camp don't tackle, don't go to the ground. A lot of people stay up. We've had multiple opportunities where we've had live situations, whether it be in the run game, whether it be in scrimmages, or whether it's 9-on-7 or 9-on-8. We've had a lot of opportunities to be physical, so we're looking forward to see the way our kids respond to the physicality over a 2-, 3-, 4-quarter game and overtime if it takes that. Defensively, our point of emphasis is communication. we have to communicate at the highest levels. I think that Coach Thompson and his staff have done a great job of making people understand that communication is key defensively. We've really worked hard on it. From an offense and defense and special team standpoint, what we've tried to do is keep the officials out a little bit more than probably some people will do. We will continue to have some officials at practice to make sure that we start the season clean, and we'll continue to have those guys so that it's not a shock for when we do get in games and officiating is concerned. To be able to just go ahead and you guys have already got the injury report and see who we have out. But in addition to those players on the injury report, our offensive tackle, Messiah Rice, and defensive end, Demaje Bailey, will also not dress to comply with a one-game suspension as a result of an all-season rules violation. That is not something that just happened recently. That is something that we've known about and something that we've prepared for, and we are going to make sure that we do things the right way, whether in-season, off-season, or otherwise. And that is where we are as a group right now. At this time, if you have any questions, I'll be more than glad to take them.
Can you talk about Sander for a little bit, just because he seems like a guy that seemingly moved pretty quickly up the chart?
Yeah, Justin is extremely athletic. He has a great understanding of our offense. He provides us some flexibility at his position because he can not only, you know pass block, pass protect, but he's great in the run game. He's also a guy that stays over here a lot trying to get as much teaching and coaching as he possibly can. We trust him. We know that he is prepared and ready for the opportunity, and we look forward to seeing him go out and compete on Saturday.
Could you talk a little bit about the dismissal of Gary's?
Okay. I think on Friday I made my, stance clear on where we are at that situation. Right now, all I'll say is that we're gonna move forward as a team, and he's no longer a member of this team. So at that point, I don't think that I'd be, doing the guys on our team any favors by speaking about people that are not a part of us anymore. I like to concentrate on the people that we're going to go into the stadium with on September the 3rd.
This being game week, do butterflies kick in? When do they kick in for you? Is it any different feel for you this week?
I think they kicked in December the 13th. This is what we live for as coaches and as competitors. There's nothing like the focus that goes into trying to get yourself prepared for spring ball, and then trying to get yourself prepared for summer workouts, and then trying to get yourself prepared for fall camp. But there's nothing like this week. We had a great workout last night. I think everybody's mentality, of course, it goes into a little bit of an overdrive here, because we're trying to make sure we're focused on every detail and not leave any leave unturned, and we're going to make sure every stone will be turned over as we move forward, because this is what we prepare for. You got to realize we prepare sometimes 35, 36 weeks of the year for the ability to go out and prepare and work for 14 weeks. So our coaches, they understand the gravity of the moment. I understand the gravity of the moment, and we've done a good job of making sure that our players understand the gravity of the moment. So, yeah, it's a big-time week. Yeah, we've been blessed because we've had a lot of growth in our defensive line as camp has moved on. You'll see some younger players, and I'm not giving them sugar by telling you that you're going to see them, but you will see. You'll see some Alex Turner. You'll see some of him. He's done a really, really good job for us. But we're prepared there. Fred Presley and Dimitri will be ready to step in there. And, we're in a spot to where, from a schematical standpoint, because of our multiple fronts that we can use and utilize, Pratt and utilize both Giannis and Pratt together, that we have some position flexibility. So some of those situations and issues that we have, a lack of the guys that we've had before, we'll be able to mask in some situations in the game.
Some of the true freshmen that may be on the borderline of playing, mm-hmm. Have you guys tried to decide, okay, this guy's going to redshirt, is it still something that's...
That's ongoing. That's definitely ongoing because, we have to realize that they may not be ready week one, but week four and week five and week six, are really, really important weeks, right? So if we can continue to try to stress them every day with the preparation of game week, not from a standpoint of show team and scout team, that week five and week six, when we may have to call them, that they're ready. And we got to make sure that they are prepared. And this is a part of the developmental process as well. You know, they haven't had spring ball. Our guys had spring ball. So you add this 6 weeks, it essentially 4 to 5, 6 weeks to get them ready, essentially is another spring ball for them. And maybe they'll come along. And if they're not ready, then we won't play them. But if they're ready, we're going to play them. And that's for anybody that comes into this program. If they're ready to play as 17, 18-year-old kids, and they come in here, and they're better, and they're ready to go, we're going to play them.
Coach, Phil hasn't thrown a pass in a real game in so long. Do you fear rust at all, or do you fear he may come in overhyped, or do you think maybe at some point next day just settle down and be back in the thing? Because he's so mature that you don't worry about it.
Well, that's the unknown, you know, I talked about before. You know, I got a lot of other things that I'm worried about a little bit more than Phil because of the way that he's prepared to this point in time. But there are certain times, you know, we've been on teams elsewhere where we've had a guy that's been in his third, fourth year starting. In the first game of the year, we still had to settle him down. So we're not expecting him to come in and be Superman. We just want him to come in and execute our offense and do what we ask him to do. And if we have to settle him down, you know, we have ways of doing that. And he has been, to this point in time, pretty level-headed. There's been some situations in practice that we put him in situations that are just awful. I like to do that. I like to put guys on the four-yard line with two downs to try to get out and make them respond to it. And they know that it's not fair. I really don't care that it's fair. We just need to see them in those adverse situations, and he's handled all those adverse situations as well as you could have a quarterback that hadn't played in a long time. There is the part of the physicality part of it, of him getting tackled. All of us have to go through it. Like I said before, there's a lot of teams that don't tackle at all, and a lot of those teams have not been tackled since the last time they played in a real game. We'll get him prepared for the mental part of it. The physical part of it, he'll have to adjust to on the run. But we think we've done a good job, and he's done a good job preparing himself for this opportunity.
Did Will Dancy make an immediate transition, basically, from his transfer? I mean, he is obviously is ready to start. So.
No, he didn't make an immediate transition. I think the one thing that he had to understand was verbiage and vernacular. That's kind of hard when you've been in a system, you know, for so long. As coaches, it's kind of easy because we're almost in different verbiages every 2 to 3 years, and it's easy to reset and get going again and learn from a schematical standpoint what we're trying to get coached. But for him, the verbiage and the vernacular for a little bit of time was a little bit of a hurdle, an obstacle for him. Once he got that, physically, he was pretty much ready to go. And, you know, and then he had to gel with his teammates. There's just something about the offensive line that a lot of people think that it's all physical, but football is an emotional game too, so you have to understand that balance between the physical, mental, and emotional. And it took us a few weeks to get him there, but we're happy with where he is. And he still has a lot to prove, same as a lot of us. So he's going into his first game as a Pirate, and we're really happy to have him.
We see Anthony and Devin on the depth chart run back, but ideally, what would you want that rotation for the running back to be on Saturday?
You know, going right back to what I said, there's an emotional factor to it. And my emotions connected to that. If I see a back that goes out there and it can't be tackled and they can't get a hand on him, guess what? He's going to get the most carries. However, you know, you want the ball to be spread around because we want the ball in a healthy and a person that is the most agile person for the time, the most physical person for the time. So it's just different levels of concern and where we are on the field. I mean, there's some red zone things, there's some midfield things, there's some backed up things. So the game will have its own personality, and we'll let that work out in the game. But I can tell you this, if a guy wants to take over a football game, I'm not going to stand in his way.
Coach, what have you seen from your seniors? Are these guys vocal leaders? Have you seen them from Zay and JT and guys like that?
I've seen it both ways. I've seen the vocal leadership. But what I'm proud about our seniors is they're really trying to walk the they're trying to walk the walk and not just talk the talk. And when I say that, we're not giving it lip service when we want to be the best people that we possibly can be. And they're pushing our team, and they're leading our team. The accountability groups on our team, they don't stand, for the things that you may think that some people stand for. When we get out on the field, it's all football. When we're away from the field, they understand that it's about people and loving and caring and taking care of people. So we're really happy about them. But they've led, you know, I've seen Zay and some verbal altercations on the field. I've seen JT in verbal altercations. Of course, you know, Phillip, he leads our offense, and then defensively, Amos. He's not afraid to, you know, crack the whip on our entire defense. So, you know, we've seen it both ways, but I'm just impressed with the way they lead on and off the field.
Coach, just being your first game week as a head coach, do you feel like you have your routine pretty figured out, or are you still working on it?
No, I don't have a routine figured out yet. I wish I was, you know, that good, but no, every you know, 20 to 30 minutes, this is a new part of the routine that adds into it. If I could close everybody out, dude, I got a great routine. I got a routine that I put together 5 years ago, the first time I've become a head coach. But unfortunately, that routine gets a curveball thrown in it every now and then. But what I'm learning is you can't swing it all curveballs. Some of them have to hit the glove. And that's just part of it right now. We're trying to figure out, you know, the best way to make sure our team is ready, and then also that our fan base get what they deserve. Make sure that our coaches get what they deserve so they're energized and ready to go. So it's easy for me to adjust. I like that routine to get tighter and tighter as the year goes on. It's good for me, my mentality. But right now, you know, it's a learning process, to be quite honest with you.
Have you allowed yourself to think about what you're feeling emotionally when you're around that tunnel?
I have, you know, but I have to do it when nobody's around because I don't want, you know, my wife and kids to think that I'm nuts and crazy. Because I'm looking forward to it. I am. I'm not going to hide that at all. This is something that I dreamed about. Being here is something that, you know, I could have never dreamed it'd be this good from a standpoint of having the fan culture in your first time running out with your football club. It's going to be special. You know, I'm excited. I'm not going to hide that. Our guys know that I'm excited. My energy level this week is the same as it always is, but they know that there's just a certain level of excitement that's in me, and I hope that they feel that way because I want to make sure that we give them the best opportunity to go out and play well against Western Carolina. Thank you, guys.